Please stand as you're able as we sing our opening hymn, Come, Now is the Time to Worship. I will give, says the Lord, will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Today is the third Sunday in Lent and a special prayer for the day. O God, the fountain of life, to a humanity parched with thirst, you offer the living water that springs from the rock, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Stir up within your people the gift of your Spirit, that we may profess our faith with freshness and announce with joy the wonder of your love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. So Sue's going to read our first Bible reading today, and today's first reading comes from the book of Exodus.
A reading from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages. As the Lord commanded, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink," Moses said to them. "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirst there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Mazar and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" For the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Gospel reading this morning is rather a long one, so do feel free to be seated. A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who that it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father seeks as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, What do you want? Or, Why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and went on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. The disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of a woman's testimony. He told me everything that I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard it for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. But today is the third Sunday in Lent, and our journeys through the story of God and humanity has reached Moses in the Old Testament, and Jesus meeting with a woman at a well in Samaria in the Gospel of John. We know the overarching journey of a biblical narrative that leads us to a known and assured destination, the reconciliation of God and creation through Jesus. In the past portion of a letter to the Romans set for today, St. Paul puts it this way: we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But as I commented in the notice paper this week, although the destination is assured, the journey is still important and can bring much of value. In fact, the journey is necessary, as we will see. In our Old Testament reading, the context is in the start of a long journey for the Israelites. They've escaped Egypt by crossing the Red Sea and eventually will enter the Promised Land. On this journey, they will learn a lot about what it means to be the people of God. And the high point of this journey will be the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and the sealing of a covenant between God and God's people. But our passage comes from before that point. Don't jump straight from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai to Cana. There's a lot of journey in the way. And this reflects again that there's much to be learnt, much to be gained from the journey. But actually, there are three stories back to back, and we've read the third of those, but they all are set in the wilderness and all involve the Israelites grumbling and complaining. They complain about lack of water. They complain about lack of food. And God responds by bringing sweet water and raining bread from heaven. One of the stories is the story of manna from heaven. And then in this third story that we heard from Exodus chapter 17 in Rephidim, there is again no water. It's a repeat of what happened before. And so more complaints. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? They say in verse 3. And again, God responds. God tells Moses to strike a rock with his staff and water flows. So the question that we have is, well, why were these events and three similar stories put together? Why are these points on the journey important? What did the Israelites learn? And what can we learn as we recall this story? The first thing to note is that every step of the journey is foreshadowing what will come after. So in our third, as our story we heard, we're in the region of Horeb. And Horeb is a special place. Horeb is a place where God meets people. It was the location of a burning bush where God called Moses, his vocation. It will be the location where the covenant will be sealed between the Israelites and God. And it is through these stories then that the Israelites were encouraged to consider, how do they relate to God? Who is God? How do we worship him? And this question of how do we relate to God is something where which preachers often take when they look at these texts. Different ways we can look at it, though. We could see in these wilderness journeys a call to just to don't complain, as the Israelites did so vehemently. Are we called to conclude that life just happens, the good and the bad, and we should stoically put up with it? Or maybe we should see in these wilderness stories a promise that despite the distrust of God's people, God comes through with water, even water coming out of a rock. Is this then an expression of the good news that we are called to share? There's a third way that we can look at these stories that I've been reflecting on myself this week. And particularly this, what the last bit of the passage that we read, is this a call to discernment? Is this a call to answer the question posed at the very end of our passage, is the Lord among us or not? Moses called the place Massah and Meribah, and those two place names mean test and quarrel. So is this a reminder that a challenging experience can test our faithfulness towards God, or that through it we can put God's faithfulness to the test? is a situation of deficit or crisis, maybe first disclosing the character of our commitment to God? Is it ushering us even painfully towards a new dimension of trust, towards a fresh conviction that God is a provider and a healer in all circumstances? Asking these questions is a valid thing to do. It certainly is part of our Lenten journey that we're on together. Posing theological questions, things for reflection, things that might actually change us as we reflect on them, is what happens to the Israelites. They are asked, they are called to ask the question, and as they answer it, as they see Moses answering it, helping them to answer it, their relationship with God changes. And we see, I think, the same opportunities of reflection and change in the gospel reading that we had. Again, the journey is seen as important as the destination. The journey is something that challenges, in this case, the worldview of those in the story. The context here is that Jesus is traveling from Judea back to Galilee. That was a detail in the first few verses of a chapter that we didn't actually read. It wasn't included in the lectionary passage for some reason. We had enough verses, but we could have had that one as well. But the journey from Judea to Galilee has two ways of going. The direct route goes through Samaria. But there is has been a long-standing enmity between the Jews and Samaritans going back many, many centuries, right back to the split of the kingdom of Israel after the death of King Solomon. The Jews' view was that Samaritans were ethnically and religiously impure, and therefore to avoid them, a good Jew would not travel through Samaria. They would go a long way around, up the Jordan Valley. But Jesus deliberately chooses the direct route so that this story could occur. He doesn't just travel through Samaria even, he actually goes to Samaria. And in the conversation that happens, we see the same questioning about what it means to be faithful to God. And just as in our Exodus stories, it's centered around water. Water is essential to life, but more than that, in John's gospel, it is a symbol of new life. Water is a gift from God. In the Moses story, it is something that satisfies physical thirst, and we have to keep coming back to it as we see. But here in John's gospel, it is a symbol of that which can satisfy spiritual thirst. In a way, the water in the desert is indeed a foreshadowing of the water of life that Jesus brings. And then this encounter at the well brings before some important topics for reflection. In the world of the story, questions are raised about who could speak to whom. Questions over the correct way to worship. Which mountain should we do it on? Jerusalem or the mountain that the Samaritans used? Jesus' words and actions seek to show that he came to bring a new way of looking at all of this. Again, a foreshadowing of what he would achieve at Easter. And he challenges the worldview of a woman and the disciples. He crosses boundaries. And he promises that the hour is coming, is now here, where the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And this brings, as we read this passage, it brings another dimension to our Lenten reflections. There are many questions posed by that reading, but I'd like to leave you with just two that I've been reflecting on myself this week. First, as Jesus deliberately planned his journey in order to address reconciliation between Jews and Samaritans, how should we plan our journeys and our meetings to promote reconciliation between the peoples of our country? In the light of tensions between the First Nations peoples and those who came later, or in the light of the rise of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, what can the church do? Then, as Jesus tells us that worshipping in spirit and truth is what is important, rather than concern about which mountain to do it on, how do we respond to the theological differences that seem to be driving the church apart, such as the tensions this week within Anglicanism between Canterbury and Gathcon? How do we journey together? How do we have a foreshadowing of the kingdom that is to come? I think perhaps what we need to do is cry out with that unnamed woman at the well, "Sir, give me this water." Amen.
Thank you.
stand as you're able and join with me in affirming our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, he descended into the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the world and for the Church.
This morning in our prayers, the response to Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. Jesus, Saviour of the world, as a Samaritan woman at a well once asked to receive your life-giving water, so we bring our prayers that your thirsting world may receive the waters of life. We give you thanks for this land of beauty and bounty in which we live. We pray for the peoples of the world, for leaders of the nations and all who govern, for people whose lands are parched or barren, whose waters are polluted, for all who thirst for justice, freedom and peace. And today we pray for an end to the hostilities developing throughout the Middle East region and for those affected directly or indirectly by what's happening. Pour your spirit into our hearts, and bring new life to your thirsty people. Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks that you come to us offering forgiveness and reconciliation. We pray for your church, for its people and clergy, and for all who tell your good news, for all who search to find meaning in their lives, for all who thirst to know the true and living God. And in the Anglican Communion today, we pray for the Episcopal Church in Jerusalem and the Middle East, the Diocese of Bunbury, Parish of St. Lucia, pray for childcare centres, pray for Matthew Flinders Anglican College, Budrum, and our missionary partners, parishes in the Western region, supported by the Bush Ministry Fund. Pour your spirit into our hearts and bring new life to your thirsty people. Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the love that surrounds and sustains us in our daily lives. We pray for our community, our families, our friends, and for all with whom we work, for all whom we push to the edges of society, for all who thirst to be accepted, valued, and understood. And we pray for our local schools, St. Elizabeth's Primary, St. Agnes Primary, and the Red Hill Special School. And in our parish, we pray for St. Luke's Theatre Society as they prepare to welcome their first patrons in our new hall. Pour your spirit into our hearts and bring new life to your thirsty people. Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks that you heal the sick, console the sad, and strengthen the weak. We pray for all in need, for the grief-stricken, the destitute, and all who are in pain, for all who yearn to be needed and loved, for all who thirst for comfort, relief, and hope. And we pray for those who have asked for our prayers, for Sandy, Ryan, Sharon, Reverend Shane, Mary, David, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Honor, Don, Margaret, and Peter. Pour your spirit into our hearts and bring new life to your thirsty people. Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks that you offer to all your people the waters of eternal life. We give thanks for your faithful servants of every age and we remember all who have died in your love. And from our parish book of remembrance today, we give thanks for the lives of Donald Saker, Margaret Simmons, Alma Joyce Turnbull, Thelma Isabel Anderson, Ian McLaren, and Olive Evelyn Carswell. As you once gave living water to a Samaritan woman at a well, pour into our hearts your life-giving spirit, that with all your saints we may find in your presence the joy of everlasting life. Jesus, Saviour of the world, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled and wandered far off. Let us then ask for mercy, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves.
We repent and sorry for all our sins. Forgive us, strengthen us, and love and pay you in the news of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Would you please stand? Be glad, you righteous, rejoice in the Lord, shout for joy all that are true of heart, and the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our... Oh, how many were on Zoom? How many?
Five
on Zoom. Peace be with you at home. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, In Christ Alone. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, For your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accepting you as our offering for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. God of mercy, may we who have shared in this holy meal know your forgiveness in our lives, bring your reconciliation to others, and be a sign of your wholeness in this broken world. Would you please stand as we sing our missional hymn, You're the Word of God the Father.
You're the Word of God the Father. From before the world began, there is
Christ our Saviour draw you to himself, that you may find in him crucified a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sin forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.